This is episode 332 of Tech Talk Radio, Australia's premier tech talk show, which aired on Monday, May the 16th, 2011.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
Mr. Zuckerberg, do I have your full attention?
Why would anyone trust this government not to make a complete and utter shambolic mess of the national broadband network?
Which part of time would they like us to go back to? 1960, 1930?
Can you really give that guarantee when you don't seem to know what peak speed is? I'll tell you what it is.
Okay, great. Let's give everybody a case.
The future is here.
So now technology has caught up with reality.
Ever since Telstra was privatised, Australians have suffered.
Technology has had a huge impact on our love lives.
On air, on the internet and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, I'm Andrew McCollum and welcome to the Money Week edition of Tech Talk Radio. Yes, this week was the week in tech where money could burn a hole in your pocket or catapult you to the top of the world's most valued brands. Even here at home, the federal government released its budget, promising $530 million for human services IT, $308 million for free TV kits, and $61 million for smart roads. But it was also the week that ISP filter grants were severed. Also, it was a week that Microsoft dug deep and shelled out 8.5 billion folding ones to buy the money-losing Skype. And Apple is now the most valued brand, displacing Google as their brand value rises a massive 84% in just 1 year. According to Bloomberg, Apple Inc., maker of iPhones, iPads and iMacs, overtook search engine giant Google to become the world's most valuable brand. Apple's brand value climbed 84% in the past year to $153.3 billion, while Google's brand lost 2% to $111.5 billion, ending 4 years atop of the rankings, while International Business Machines Corp., otherwise known as IBM, climbed 17% to be number three, ahead of Golden Arches or McDonald's Corporation. How's that? Tech and fast food are top of the world's most valuable brands. Is that saying something? Also this week, all eyes turned to Microsoft being somewhat of an outsider in the race to buy the money-losing Skype. At face value, Skype is a telco. Telcos are social beasts and it's what people need to communicate. So the frontrunner would have had to have been Facebook, but it wasn't to be. Mark Elliott Zuckerberg had better things to spend his hard-earned cash on. Next in line with short odds was Google, but hey, they've already got a voice system that connects users with the click of a mouse. So Microsoft jumped in and $8.5 billion later, they've now become a telco. Now let's see, Microsoft certainly has the lion's share of the desktop operating systems. And to build a telephony client into that, well, the possibilities are endless. Not to forget the rise of the Xbox and Kinect gaming consoles, where a built-in communications device would make it very easy when battling a remote foe. Maybe there's method to the madness here. So next time you choose Maccas over a nice healthy Apple and boot Windows on your IBM PC to make a Skype call, just remember you'll be doing your bit to help the Microsoft Phoenix rise from the ashes and climb the most valuable brand ladder yet again.
This week on Tech Talk Radio.
Free set-top boxes for everyone. Skype bought by Microsoft. iGadgets take Apple to the top of the world's brands. Adam moves to 123 Fake Street in the wake of the Sony hack. Google is launching its cloud service without Big Music's approval. Labor ends the voluntary net filtering scheme. First up, though, here's Dr. Ron with this week's news roundup from the Tech Talk Radio news desk.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News, Microsoft buys Skype for $8.5 billion. Facebook fails in its efforts to wage an anti-Google smear campaign. Contractors cut through a large Telstra cable on the New South Wales south coast. The CIA reveals how Osama bin Laden sent thousands of emails to Al-Qaeda operatives. And the Space Shuttle Endeavour is go for final launch. Welcome to Tech Talk News. Microsoft Corporation has agreed to purchase internet phone company Skype Technologies for $8.5 billion. Microsoft's Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Steve Ballmer, said the software giant was motivated to acquire Skype because communication technologies have been the backbone of Microsoft's growth in recent years.
It's really a kind of a rare asset, and the word Skype in many senses means communications to a lot of people in the sense of I'll Skype you.
Mr. Ballmer made no secret of Microsoft's intention to expand Skype by blending it with other technologies like the popular Xbox video game console. Journalist at ZDNet Australia, Mr. Luke Hopewell, told the ABC's PM program last week that it made sense for Microsoft to integrate Skype with products like Windows Phone and Xbox services.
I don't think Microsoft is going to buy Skype to charge more for it and to make money from Skype itself. It will make some money from the Skype Out service, where users can buy credits to call landline and mobile phones internationally. I think they've done this to reinvigorate their existing product line and to present more to customers to make it a more compelling experience.
Skype's chief executive, Mr. Tony Bates, will head up a new business division within Microsoft. Mr. Bates will assume the title of President of the Microsoft Skype Division and report directly to Mr. Ballmer. About 170 million people log into Skype every month, and Skype users made 207 billion minutes of voice and video calls last year. Facebook has failed in an attempt to wage a covert anti-Google smear campaign. It was disclosed last week that Facebook contracted a prominent public relations firm in the United States to publish editorials which were critical of Google's privacy policies. But when the PR agency Burson Marsteller approached an independent blogger to undertake the grubby task, he not only declined the assignment, but also went public with the request. The PR agency's employees, a former tech reporter for CNBC and a former political reporter, have both received workplace counselling in relation to the leak. Facebook said it never authorised or intended to run any smear campaign against Google. Instead, a Facebook spokesman said they hired the PR firm to undertake investigations into how a new Google service called Social Circle collects users' data. The Facebook spokesman acknowledged that it could have handled the situation better. Social Circle is part of Google's efforts to supplement search results with content from users' Facebook, Twitter, and other social network accounts. Telstra technicians spent 4 days restoring services to 800 subscribers last week after a building contractor severed a cable before concreting over the evidence. The 1,200-pair telecommunications cable in the town of Ulladulla on New South Wales' south coast was severed by building contractors on the site of a new Woolworths supermarket. The contractors then unwittingly concreted over the cable before Telstra network engineers could locate the fault and commence repairs. Telstra's area general manager, Mr. Michael Marram, told IT News last week that the repair job needed ducting to be brought down from Sydney and another contractor to assist them breaking up the new concrete. Mr. Marram said a simple phone call to dial before you dig would have avoided 4 days of work and issues. Normal telephone services to the affected subscribers have now been restored. The CIA has revealed how the world's most wanted terrorist, Osama bin Laden, managed to communicate with Al-Qaeda operatives by email and avoid detection for so long. Analysis of about 100 flash memory drives from bin Laden's compound have revealed that the terrorist mastermind typed messages on his computer, saved the messages to thumb-sized flash drives, then passed these to trusted couriers. The couriers then headed for distant internet cafes and public internet points where bin Laden's messages and instructions were distributed. A trove of electronic records was recovered after US Special Forces killed bin Laden 2 weeks ago. Analysis of the memory sticks has revealed hundreds of email addresses and thousands of messages. The amount of intelligence is so large that the US government has enlisted Arabic speakers from all sections of the intelligence community to assist analysing the so-called bin Laden sneaker net. And the second last space shuttle mission is still on track for launch today, Monday the 16th of May, from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. Teams are preparing Space Shuttle Endeavour for liftoff at 8:56 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time in the United States, and the current weather forecast has a 70% chance of acceptable launch conditions. While Endeavour's final flight was scheduled for Friday the 29th of April, electrical problems meant that the launch had to be postponed. The Space Shuttle Endeavour has been in operation for 19 years and will be retired after this flight, which is STS-134. For live coverage of the Space Shuttle Endeavour's mission, go to www.nasa.gov/NTV. I'm Dr. Ron, and that's your tech update for this week.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
Lena's there because she's not in here tonight. Can you tell?
I'm going to say it's not a technological problem.
Graham.
Yes.
Tell us about your gadget of the year. Speaking of what happened in Pakistan last week,
this video is not allowed to be shown on a TV.
And so the television is becoming a bit of a platform rather than a static dumb device.
Rock, paper, scissors, lizard, Spock.
Yeah.
And they were showing an upscaled, magnified 4:3 standard def.
Congratulations, Vodafone. You've taken the cake on this one.
What a shock.
We just did it for a bit of our laugh to amuse ourselves.
Anyone who's with Three or Vodafone understands our pain and can absolutely relate to it.
She rubs I never her knew five that my bars I- in my, of my face.
I never knew an iPhone could have more than 2 bars.
And it's powered by Android. It's not powered by Android. It's powered by a battery.
Thanks, Rob. Powered by
it's
a battery.
What well, is?
Sick of this. Hey, I've lost my place now.
The language.
Entertaining, informative, and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. The demure session tonight. Actually, we're going to talk a bit about money. I'm Andrew McComb. Two of us in this, three, if you count me as well. Dr. Ron joins us this evening.
Hello.
As per
how are you going?
Good. And let's not get too close to the one. She brought her own viruses in this evening,
she
despite being
squeaks.
A Mac user.
She who squeaks.
Don't ever say Mac users don't get viruses. Welcome, Linda. Come back.
I'm not that bad. It's bacterial now. You've got nothing to worry about.
Yes. So she's sitting here in the studio. Can I say, Dr. Ron and I are in T-shirts this evening, and Lena has come in wearing scarf, three layers of clothing,
yep.
And Well, what
I have
can
pneumonia.
I say?
That's why. You would too. But I'm still here.
Well,
that's
good
a pretty
effort.
Good reason for
good
not
effort.
Being here last week, having it
pneumonia.
Is.
That's
yeah.
That's a sad state of affairs. How did that happen?
I had a cold and it just kicked it up a notch.
Nasty.
Yep.
Are you on some serious antibiotics?
Yeah, they're amazing.
Are they?
Amazing. I've only got 2 days left of them, so it's almost done.
Do you want some more? No.
No, I'm good. But no, I'm getting there. Apologies for the way I sound, but I'm getting there.
I know, you're sounding very husky, very sexy. There'll be a lot of people sending in emails by the end of the week, won't
no,
there?
No.
It's the up close and personal.
It is.
Radio. Really
hot and
I couldn't be
what?
Any more clothed if I tried. I think I'd look like the Michelin man.
You are, considering the temperature in here is probably a balmy. Yeah.
Yes.
36?
Yeah, it is 36 degrees or something in the radio studio. How's your week been, Andrew?
It's a bit like at home when you walk in and spend on incinerate.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's off or incinerate. There's two settings on the central heating
week's,
at home.
Week's been good, Dr. Ron. Sorry, I'm running on delay this evening.
That's okay.
It's nothing to report. Mostly harmless. If you're a Douglas Adams fan, I think, I built a server during the course of the week just for something to do. Small Business Server 2011.
Right.
I tried the cut-down version of it, and that was really easy. That worked quite well, and then I decided, no, I think I'll go the full hog. So I'm running the full whack version of it at the moment. But it's been an interesting week, I guess, in the technological world with people buying things, not so much selling things, but buying things, and where it's all going to go. But other than that, no, it was good. I enjoyed this week. It was good. We had a great weekend. It rained all weekend in Melbourne, pretty much. Standard.
Good tech weekend.
Yeah, it was. It was good. Catch up on a few movies, all that sort of stuff. It was great.
What movies did you catch up on?
I watched Broken Arrow, I think it was. It was on 1HD, because now that we're moving away a little bit from sport on 1HD, they're putting some boy movies on. So, was it?
You can't say boy movies, because I like those movies too.
Damn?
Yes.
That's all right, but traditionally
Lethal
it's
Weapon 2 was on last night.
Was it?
Yep.
Gee, it must be winter. Anyway. That's what I like about some of the other new multi-channel stuff. You find some absolute gems on there. But I must admit, the funniest thing I've seen all week, which I caught up with on ABC, I think that we were talking about movies and things like that, was For Your Height Only. Are you familiar with this movie?
For Your Height Only?
Yeah.
No, I saw an advertisement for that, but I don't know what it's about.
It's a James Bond ripoff by a Filipino production company with a little guy.
Oh, wow.
It's the plane type sort of little guy. And it's very funny.
Instead of For Your Eyes Only.
For Your Height Only.
Your Height Only.
Yeah, it's very tongue-in-cheek and very B, C, D, E grade movie types of thing. You go and have a look on iView if you want to have a bit of a laugh, but not now. Later. After the show.
Pay attention now.
Yeah.
The show's on.
All right. Coro, have our lovely listeners kept their Coro to less than 10,000 words or less?
Almost.
Almost.
We've slightly go over the 10,000 word limit this week. Thank you, everybody, for sending in your feedback. It's terrific
it's good.
To hear from you. It's great. We're all in the chat room if you're listening live, and of course that's at chat.techtalkradio.com.au. And if you're not listening live, if you're listening on the pod, you can go to forum.techtalkradio.com.au, which is where all the show notes are posted every week.
You sent me a thing to go into the forum the other week, and I can't remember my password.
No, I
and I did a reset on the password and it didn't send me one. So sorry, whoever that was.
Oh, I think I replied on your behalf.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it was somebody had the same Windows update problem that you had a few weeks ago.
Oh, I got an email about that during the course of the week.
Yeah.
From one of our listeners. Yes.
And I posted the link to the folder there that you said to try to delete all the contents of.
Yep.
And I said, beware, try this at your own risk. Work for Andrew, might not work for everybody.
Yeah.
And the person replied back fairly fast and said, it worked really well. Thank you, Andrew. You're a ledge.
I'm pleased. I'm glad it worked. What was that? That was the perpetual loop update for Windows 7, one of the patches. It just kept you doing the update. Every boot restart was like, not these four again.
I thought it had happened to me there for a moment, and I thought I was going to have to do the exact same fix, but it appeared to sort itself out.
I think you should do it anyway, because it certainly gets a lot of disk space back.
Deleting all those that updates folder.
Correct. Lena, by the way, if you hear that barking frog in the background.
That I had was when I turned the computer on, it said it was installing updates. Please wait. Please don't turn off your computer. This is the Windows 7 operating system. And it stayed on 0%, and it was on 0% for a long time. And I thought, oh, this is bad. This is the problem that Andrew was describing. I went away, left it for about an hour, and I came back, and it seemed to have sorted itself out. But it took an inordinate amount of time to get over that 0% state where it was downloading or upgrading or fixing or patching or doing whatever it was doing. Jeff Gates in Ohio says, PlayStation now running again as of this morning. Update required and password change required.
Have you done yours yet?
No. Although, I went to had a look at the Curiosity through the PlayStation 3 during the week.
I haven't turned the PlayStation on since it happened.
Ah.
No, I definitely had the PlayStation on.
We must have another night of GT5. Get Adam together and some of our listeners if you want to come along.
If the PlayStation network's back up. What's going on, Lena?
It should be coming back up soon. It's partially back up now. You can get on to change your password and check that your details aren't there anymore.
I wonder how long it takes to do the download. Because traditionally Sony...
There is a patch before you
can... The 3.6 or whatever it is patch. Previous ones have taken a long time.
There was a patch before you could actually get in to change your password.
You have to do the download first.
Yep. The very first thing you can do is download this patch.
Yeah.
There'll probably be another one in the next few days as well as they're putting in more and more things. So you can do online play now, I think.
Yeah. We will talk about this after Adam's got a view from the couch about it very shortly, about moving to 123 Fake Street, which is very interesting. So hang around. We'll talk a bit more about Sony then. But
is that a pretend address, is it?
It's real. Don't you know he lives there?
Oh, is that where he lives now?
123 Fake Street.
In Springfield.
I like it. GD in the Tech Talk Radio Forum asks, any solar power experts out there, does anyone know what wavelength of sunlight produces the most output power when using polycrystalline and monocrystalline solar cells? reaches for the nerd alert button. GD, that's a very, very technical question. Now, GD's in the chat room tonight. He's our moderator.
He is.
So if anyone knows the answer to GD's question, hop on the forum and see if you can help him out. Tim via the Tech Talk Radio feedback form says, hi, guys.
Hey, hi, Tim.
Thanks for the show. Glad to have a program covering tech locally to keep me in the loop. Oh, that's good. You're welcome. I have a question on smartphones. And with you TTR folks being up to date with all the latest on the gadget front, I'm hoping you can weigh in to help with a decision I'm about to make.
Ooh.
Rob Oakeshott isn't in this evening.
No, he's not. No, where's Graham? Yeah, we haven't heard from Graham yet tonight, and I suddenly realised he's not here.
No.
Oh, well.
Gee, that's nice.
We'll have to make some inquiries. I've had the iPhone 3 for 2 years, and my plan is almost up. It was my first smartphone, and I loved it as soon as I got my hands on it. However, in the last 6 or so months, my experience has deteriorated due to consistently horrid Optus reception.
Ooh.
Hard to get a
signal. Don't blame the network. It could have been Vodafone.
Hard to get a signal in the living room here in Thornbury. And the phone itself becoming sluggish.
It's only 5 minutes from the centre of town, isn't it?
It is.
Yep.
It's becoming sluggish and often unresponsive. Despite this, a week ago, I couldn't wait to get an iPhone 4, but after a little consideration, I feel like breaking out of the iOS bubble. This was harder than it sounded, given the money I'd already put into apps.
It's not.
It's not harder than it sounds?
You just do it. If that's the way you want to be, you just do it.
My bottom line, says Tim, was disappointment in the device not lasting 2 years and partly the bad taste Optus had left in my mouth. Not really a problem with the iPhone, I realise, says Tim, and generally not seeing any merit in brand loyalty. I'm tempted to explore the Android OS, do it, Tim, and the phones that run it, given all the buzz I hear from you lot. Thanks in anticipation from Tim in Thornbury, the suburb known as the Raggedy Man of the Inner North.
Has he got a Mac or a PC or both?
Both.
Oh, well, then he's good. He can choose to move into other... I find that apps don't sort of cost you too much these days, not unless you've gone off and bought a TomTom at $90 or something silly like that, because traditionally, if you're going to spend that money, you go and buy the hardware. It's just so much better put in your car as well. But can I say, from being an Apple iPhone 3GS user, when I first got the device, it was a lovely device in its time. It was on a network that sort of could handle it at that point in time as well, which was good, so it was working well. But from a business point of view, I found it incredibly frustrating because I couldn't do things on it that I wanted to do on it. So as a result, I ended up jailbreaking it so that I could run software that would help me do my day-to-day job. Then it became useful. So that's purely my point of view.
Have you rooted your Android phone?
Absolutely.
Then it's the same thing.
Huh?
Then it's the same thing.
I know. I rooted it because I needed to do something on it that it traditionally wouldn't do. But yes, you're right. It is the same thing. but see, the thing is that...
Is rooting like jailbreaking? Is that what Apple people would
exactly
call jailbreaking?
The same thing.
Well, it just allows you to have access to the root of the device, which is like the where all the powerful GUI stuff is on your hard drive for your operating system.
Like the lowest level.
Yes.
Lets you get to the bits.
And things like, I know that with the Android device that I have, in fact, a lot of us have it here, which is one of the HTC Desires, I wanted to be able to take frame grabs of the screen, the screenshots. Now, on the Apple iPhone, that's really easy to do. But on the Android, they lock that away for whatever reason, and you find an app and it says, oh, you need to root the phone and all that, which means giving it access to the root of the device. Mm. And that was the reason why I did it. And I also wanted to do it because you can get some great ad blocking stuff to put onto the device as well, which needs root access. But once again, the same thing applies for other brands and other phones. But what I say to people, if for what my 2 cents is worth, is if you're a Mac person and you have Macs at home and you like them and everything's working and talking, you're syncing and doing all stuff, stick with the Mac Forum. It's great. It's a good device. If you're, you want a little bit more from your device, or you have specific requirements for your device, and you happen to also have a PC close by, you can do the same thing on the PC as you can on the Mac. They'll all sync. They'll all talk. Instead of thinking Mac, on the Android side of stuff, you think Google and contacts and all the calendar stuff that Google has in the cloud, and that's where your contacts sync through, and where your Gmail. It all works that well. That works well in that sort of spectrum as well. And of course, now we've got the new player on the block, which is Microsoft, which is Phone 7. And that's sort of, I think it's still very much in its infancy, despite what a lot of people have said at the moment. So I would say stay clear of Phone 7 just in the short term. 7.5 is coming along. Early days yet, but
might have cut and paste.
Yeah, it's all sounding very familiar, isn't it?
It is. It's very, very, very familiar.
We'll be shaking the baby on it very shortly too, won't we?
Yeah, we will.
Stick clear of the Phone 7 if that level of integration is important to you. If you want internet connectivity and you want cloud services and that sort of functionality, if that's what you need, Phone 7's maybe not as mature as the Android or the
Tim's
Apple
after,
offerings.
I think Tim's after wanting to know which HTC... to get.
Oh, they're all
to
rock
get a
solid.
Samsung or whether to
it's
get...
a personal flavour. If they're running Android, it's like an OS. You choose the OS and you go, okay, now what sort of device
am I going
to
make a price point decision pretty much?
Price point, screen size, the processors, they're all pretty much of the muchness these days.
The cameras in them?
Cameras, they're all around that, anywhere from 5 to 10 megapixels in that sort of area. The key to it is really...
That's amazing, isn't it? 10 megapixels in a phone.
Well, it means you don't have to carry a big camera around. I've just been up to the local night at the school and I took a few snaps while I was up there and it's great. Great.
My mum's point and shoot is 10 megapixels.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say, the choice of network is imperative these days, and there's really... only one which cuts the mustard, in my opinion, and the price point difference between that and the traditional networks is not that much difference. So if you're going to sell your soul to the devil, sell your soul to one that works, and at least for a couple of years anyway. Also, bear in mind, there was some other rumors around about the new iPhone 5 rumoring. Well, the rumors also say that the new iPhone 5 will not support LTE, which is the fourth generation mobile technology, scheduled to be rolled out by Telstra and others towards the end of the year. So... there might be a wait on LTE stuff for iPhone stuff. But I'd buy a device potentially that's... if you can sit on the fence a bit longer, I'd do it. Don't race out tomorrow and buy one. Just give it another few months.
Ah, that's good advice.
The other thing Tim says is brand loyalty, he mentions there. I agree
what
with
loyalty?
Him. There's no such thing anymore. Nah. Once upon a time, there used to be, but...
Like carrier loyalty too.
Back when you were rewarded for it. It existed, but now brands don't reward you for it, so what's the point?
Look, at the end of the day, you want to talk to someone if you've got a problem. You want the problem solved. You don't want to have traditionally, you don't want to have a language distance. You don't want to have a tyranny of distance issue over the top of it. You want someone who understands your local environment. You know, when they say you're in Melbourne or in Sydney, they know where you are on the surface of the planet, right? Oh, where's that? Is that near,
near Texas?
And we've all been there and done that, haven't we?
Yeah. Tim also says, hey, you guys are great, but I'd be lying if I didn't say that the indie gamer in me doesn't wait for Lena's segment with Woo-hoo! Blades of Breath. There you go. Cheers, Tim. Long time, long time listener Cisco, via direct email, says to me...
Oh, Cisco, this is getting serious.
Greetings once again. I have a new work schedule, so I'm actually away from the computer when you guys go to air. Sigh, back to the pod and the boards. Now, Cisco, in Oklahoma, used to listen to us live on the stream. A security officer in Oklahoma, says Cisco, was relieved of his duties at a corporate office building after it was discovered that he had used a company mobile phone to make over 10 hours worth of personal phone calls to friends and family members in, wait for it, the Republic of Angola.
Oh.
Cisco's worked out that Oklahoma, the United States to Angola is about 13,200 kilometres. Over 8,000 miles.
His half the planet.
It is. His lapse in judgment, says Cisco, was discovered when the normally $35 US dollar a month mobile phone bill came in at over $1,500. It's a big monthly
That's bill shock.
It is bill shock. Yep. Some investigation on the subject, says Cisco, revealed that the mobile services provider charged close to 22 US cents a minute for such calls, not counting a per-call international connection fee. This was just too good not to repeat in some form, so he sent it through to us to laugh about from Cisco.
Thanks, Cisco.
Good on this, Cisco. James, via the official Tech Talk Radio feedback form, says, now, after Shona Urquhart and Scott Dawkins joined us last week...
That was fun,
wasn't
it?
...from TV Live on Stage, they were a lot of fun. James says, check out this, guys. It's from Vodafone, but I imagine not the Australian Vodafail. He sent us a link there to a YouTube clip, which I'll pop in the show notes, but if you search YouTube for... Vodafone, the evolution of mobile. This is an interesting little clip that runs for about 3 minutes. It's described...
From the bricks.
It's a little animated projection of the very first brick telephones all the way through to the current things that we use now.
Oh, that's cute.
With colour screens, GPSs, and James says, the question is, what's next? So we'll pop that link there. It's a good one, James. Thanks for sending that in.
Subdermal implants in our eyelids.
Yes.
Something like that.
I'm a bit worried, Lena. About
how about predictive dialing and predictive text that works?
Yeah, just that'd be with good, your brain. You just think, send text.
Well, Graham's still trying to get his speech to text working.
Well, I can do that on mine.
His speech activated dialing.
Well, tell him to speak clearly.
I'm not sure quite
he
sure
he laughed at
why
me the other day when I said you have to speak in words. He thought that was very funny.
I'm not sure why
you have
so
to
much
speak
trouble.
In words, not sentences. Mm.
And last but certainly not least, Daryl via the Tech Talk Radio contact form says, hi, guys. Hi, Daryl. Great show. Keep it going. Okay, we will. My problem is your podcast will play on my iPod. Oh, I wouldn't have thought that was a problem. Oh, but... let me just clarify that. Through the stereo or alarm clock, but will not play through my car system by USB connection. It stops and won't play the playlist any further. Any ideas, or will I have to listen to the show live?
Sounds like a hardware issue, doesn't it?
That's strange. If it's playing on the iPod... And it plays through the stereo, all right? Plays through the alarm clock, all right? But when you take it to the car, it doesn't work on the same device. Points to a hardware problem with the car, doesn't it?
Mm.
Daryl, tell us if you're having similar problems with other podcasts, if it's just ours. I know what the answer will be.
It'll be hardware.
Just yours, Dr. Owen.
Yeah, because you probably don't listen to us. Why would you want to listen to anything else?
Let us know, Daryl. We'll see what we can do to help you. And if anyone else has got a similar problem, let us know. That's the correspondence this week, Andrew. Feedback at techtalkradio.com.au.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
Last week we had a budget delivered by some people in Canberra who we're obviously all giving way too much tax to because they seem to want to spend more and more and less and less. And anyway, we've got to have a surplus. And as a result, the cutbacks happen. But also their spending too. Did you know that apparently they're talking about free set-top boxes for senior citizens now?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, at a price of $350 per cost or per application, I guess is the word. And a lot of people came out, including the opposition leader, and said Jerry Harvey can do you one for $120. Why are we giving $350 away? Which is a very good question when you come to think about cost of set-top boxes. Like you can pick them up at the supermarket checkout next to the lollies for about $30, can't you?
It is an excellent question. You can. They're commodity items now. You can do your grocery shopping and get the cornflakes and get your milk and then grab your set-top box, chuck it all in the supermarket trolley. And
Well, Senator Conroy came out today and explained his $350. Would you like to hear some of the
please.
The reasoning behind this thing? Well, apparently it was administration costs for Centrelink to advise people if they are eligible to set up appointments for installation, follow-up phone calls and checks. Also, a set-top box which is accessible for the elderly and people with special needs. I don't know what the difference is between that and a regular set-top box. I think they're all pretty much the same, aren't they? Or they've got big buttons on them or something.
Probably. Or panic buttons built in.
Apparently and allegedly, the consumer expert group was consulted on the appropriate set-top box for the scheme. Also, in this five-bullet-point notation, installation of...
Oh, it's a five-point plan.
It is.
Good.
Installation of the set-top box and any rewiring, antenna adjustment and demonstrations... That's part of the $350. Also, add to that an in-home warranty.
Hang on, just say that last bit again. Antenna adjustments.
Yes, yeah. A quote from the minister's press release.
Right.
Installation of the set-top box and any rewiring. So you just get the Bellingley plug and plug it from...
That's what rewiring means.
Just rewiring it. So you plug it from... You know the cable that comes with it? It's about a metre long.
Yeah.
You loop it through into the telly.
That's rewiring.
Yeah, that's rewiring.
Yep.
And antenna adjustments. So in case you have to wiggle the antenna a little bit, because in case they're not getting the right TV already, I guess.
Yeah.
The bunny ears thing.
And then a demonstration. I'm not sure what of, but maybe the set-top box. Here's how to use it. Press 2 for 2, press 7 for 7. Because haven't you noticed if you use your traditional television channels, you get your traditional television channel?
Yeah, you do. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, good.
It seems like a lot of money to me.
Yeah. I haven't finished yet.
Oh, but wait, there's more.
But wait, there's more. I did say an in-home warranty.
State just, knives?
Just to confuse them, because there isn't already a statutory state warranty when you buy hardware like this. You get an extra warranty on top of it as well. And finally, access to a free hotline for 12 months following installation.
Right.
And that... all adds up to $350 per person or per household for the installation of your set-top box.
Wow.
Jerry Harvey can still do all that for less, I would have thought.
Well, there was a...
online.
there was a gentleman from Harvey Norman on a commercial radio station during the week that I was listening to, and he was saying it was an exorbitant amount of money to be allocating for set-top boxes when you can buy them for $30 or $40.
Doesn't seem to be the hardware, though, that's the cost.
No, it seems to be, according to Mr. Conroy, and all these extra services and add-ons. But that is misleading. Like, rewiring is not going to be moving your antenna around, replacing old... ribbon cable with coaxial cable and putting new plates on walls and things like that. Recabling, as Andrew says, means unplug this, plug that in. That's going to be, or rewiring. That's
but
what rewiring
is. An installation person would do that anyway when they pop out.
And all an installation person is going to do is open a cardboard box, take the thing out of the polystyrene packaging, sit it on your television, plug the power, let's do this in real time while I'm saying it and the job will be done. Plug it into the PowerPoint, unplug your Bellingley cable, like you said, plug it into the TV.
The antenna plug out the back.
There you go. Here's the remote control. Put batteries in the remote control for you. That big red one, that's the power button. Bang, there you go.
Tune it into channel something.
Welcome to digital television. See you later. That's $350.
Probably, 7 for 7, 2 for 2. See you later.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. Except if you're in the country. It's a little tricky when you're in the country because they change the channels around a little bit. But see, 6 is still 6 and 8 is still 8.
What's 6?
Shepparton, if you're in Victoria. Because they're all now digital now. That used to be, anyway. Prime or Southern Cross or whoever they call themselves. Anyway, apparently this reeks of the BATS installation. I'm sure Mr. Garrett's nowhere to be seen on this one, though. It's Mr. Conroy's baby, this one. But apparently the cost of installation is based on the level service provided in each home. So there's another fact. And you have to be a qualified contractor. You have to be appointed. You can't just be anybody.
You have to be trained to open cardboard
boxes.
They'll
just use the Foxtel guys, won't they? The guys who put the Foxtel boxes in everyone's houses.
Well, it does seem like a lot of money.
So set-top boxes for everybody, really. $350 grant for a man to come around and put a box in your house if you are that way inclined. Why wouldn't you just put the money, if I was a pensioner, like for, let's just say, you can pick yourself up a relatively small television set with a digital receiver in it for about $350, $400 these days. I'm sure Jerry could do a deal with Mr. Conroy.
And Mr. LG or Mr. Sony or Samsung?
Yeah, correct. Just drop a 26-inch flat screen around for the same price.
Not everyone can house a 23-inch flat screen. Little old ladies want their little old tellies and their little old things.
Do they?
Yep. And they like things the way they like them. And they want someone to come in and set it all up and leave.
Authorized by someone who's...
I feel like a little old lady right now. So I can you know, empathise with how they're feeling. They want someone to come in, fix it, and leave.
Well, the people that are eligible for this scheme aren't going to be out of pocket. It's the $350 per person is... This is being funded by the government. That's what the government's got, like a $308 million budget for this scheme. Mm. So it's funded by the taxpayer. It just seems like a lot of money for someone to be coming out and basically unpacking a set-top box, plugging it in and leaving. The thing that is going to frustrate pensioners and people who get set-top boxes as part of this scheme is that there'll be a lot of situations where antenna work will be required. Antennas will need to be either adjusted, the direction they're pointing will need to be adjusted, or they'll need to be pushed up higher in the air, or old cable will need to be replaced with new cable. And they'll be bitterly disappointed because I'll get their new set-top box and I'll go, oh, hang on a minute, it says no signal or signal strength's too low. And the guy that walks in under this $308 million scheme to set it all up will say, oh, well, good luck with it all. See you later. And leave. Uh-huh. He's not going to be climbing up on the roof putting new antennas in and running new cable, doing that sort of stuff.
Yes.
Maybe he should. For that kind of money. Make him work for it. Get up on the roof.
Well, if they can watch television once they get it, it'll certainly be a lot clearer. That's for all I can say.
Well, no, that's true. If it works, then for a lot of people, and hopefully the majority of people it will work for.
Yeah, I can't see them being a huge issue these days. Wherever you can get analog, even weekly, you'll get good quality digital from experience. But that's not always the case.
Really. Yeah, yes and no.
And if it doesn't work, we'll take the money out of that chaplaincy program.
Yes. Let's not get started about the chaplaincy program. That's not a chaplaincy program.
Also, in the same breath, the filter grant scheme got scrapped. Now, that is for voluntary filtering for ISPs.
Yes, I heard about that because ISPs have taken
it. No one was going to take it up, so they decided to scrap it because ISPs it's a bad idea.
They've taken it upon themselves to do the filtering.
Yeah, like, hello? Anyway, I thought that was quite unique. But anyway, that was the Australian government thing. Now, overseas, of course, it was a completely different thing with Microsoft digging deep and spending $8.5 billion of Skype. Now, this...
Yeah, losers, I could have just downloaded it for free.
Oh, sorry.
That had to be said. Come on. I'm here all night. Try the veal.
Dr. Ron, would you spend $8.5 billion on something that was not...
Ask me.
Lena, would you spend $8.5 billion on something that was making a bit of a loss?
If I was desperate to stay relevant, yes. Which is what Microsoft is right now.
She hasn't lost any of her pointy edge, has she?
No, she hasn't. It's good to have her back
desperate
too, isn't it?
Desperate to stay relevant
notwithstanding
in Web 2.0.
The pneumonia.
Yep. Can't hold me down.
Desperate to stay relevant.
Yep.
Lena, can I say that I actually agree with you?
Woohoo!
I think you're on the money there because if you look at what's happened, the only thing which is really working for Microsoft at the moment is their operating system, their Office, and...
Xbox.
Yeah, the gaming console is doing pretty well. But if you look at it, it was a bit of a dark horse for me. I wasn't expecting Microsoft to come from behind and snap it at the post or do whatever.
I wasn't surprised when I heard it.
I would have thought it would have been a Zuckerberg thing because of the fact that Skype being social, be good to put a little voice thing. Oh, click the button and away you go.
Voice chat instead of the little chat, Facebook chat.
Yeah, build that into your Facebook client. But no, that wasn't to be. Google, right. I don't think we're ever in the race because they've got their own things underway. But Microsoft, well, yeah, if they build it into the operating system, they build it into the gaming consoles, then
they'll charge you to use something that used to be free.
Well, there's a concept, although they have said, I think Mr. Ballmer said that they're not planning on doing that.
Well, if they're putting it in the Xbox, they have to because you need your Xbox Live subscription, your monthly subscription to
Oh, well, there you go, hidden
that.
Fees.
Just like with the Foxtel and all that.
I don't have an Xbox.
You should have one. It's
Why?
Cool.
Then I've got all three and then fun.
That makes you cool if you have all three. It's a multiplier. 3 to the power of cool.
My kids want another one. Stick with the Wii, kids. The PlayStation's for me. The Wii's for you. Dr. Ron, what do you reckon? 8.5 are the best?
Stick to PC gaming, I reckon. 8.5. Oh, I've got to talk about Portal later. Yes, are we going to talk about Portal?
Woohoo!
Okay, good. $8.5 billion. It's a lot of money. I think it's probably a very clever decision by Microsoft. It's like Lena says, look, they're trying to stay relevant. They're trying to keep up. And at the moment, they've only got the operating system. They've got collaboration suite of the software products.
Bit of a 90s
Office.
Company.
Yeah, they've got Xbox. This is going to keep them up with the Joneses for sure.
They sat around for a while saying how cool they were while everyone else was innovating, and then they kind of turned around and went, oh, wow, we weren't innovating. Oops, everyone else has done all this cool stuff and we've just been sitting there talking about how cool we are. But we should make stuff.
A lot of international voice traffic carried by Skype. 207 billion minutes of voice and video last year.
Is it true they made a loss last year, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I, the guys who own Skype saw Microsoft coming, $8.5 billion. Here's a check. No, cash. Cash. Yeah. Holding stuff. Cash.
Straight away.
So right Steve now. Got out the suitcases. Can you picture this in your mind? Steve coming along with about half a dozen, or whatever, I don't know, probably a lot more than that for $8.5 billion. But yeah, it's take the money and run, boys, and that's exactly what they did.
Good on them.
The sale marks a big payday for Skype's owners, online auction site eBay, and group of investors, including Silver Lake, the Canadian Pension Plan Investment Board, and someone's name who I can't pronounce. It goes along the lines of Andreessen Howitz, I think he was his name, if that's how you pronounce it. Apologies if it isn't. And yes, Skype delayed plans for initial public offer that was expected to value the company at more than $3 billion, but they got 8.5 for it. So they did well. Well done, boys. Yeah. Congrats. If that's the way business is going.
The Milky Bars are on them.
Absolutely. So, yeah. So you're going to, I don't know, Windows 8, maybe, built-in Skype button. What do you think, Dr. Ron? Any chance of that?
It would make sense for them to integrate it into products like Office. Yeah.
Well, now you can't buy me Skype for Christmas. What are you going to get now?
Buy your Skype.
Up the ante. What are you going to get me for Christmas now?
I know.
Someone bought Skype. I want an $8 billion present now.
Did you want to buy Skype?
Yep.
Were you in the running?
No.
Well, it's a good service. It works well. The audio quality is very good.
A lot.
Come on. How often do you use it?
A lot.
I use it for free. I use it to speak to people overseas who are also using Skype. The way Skype make their money, obviously, is via Skype in and Skype out. So if you're using it to connect to somebody on a normal telephone service on the other side of the world, and you have an account and they charge you money for it.
But it now makes Microsoft a big telco, which means they can compete with the likes of AT&T's and all those sort of guys too. So is that going to alienate any of their customers, do you think, down the track? Like Phone 7, for example, for Phone 7.5, or maybe even Phone 8. Are they going to build a Skype client into it because they own it?
I don't think I would call Skype a telco. I'd call it a clever application that cleverly uses
VoIP
software.
Well, you look at the number
software of
calls and stuff it puts through. It's competing with a lot of other...
It's competing with telcos. I don't know if you call it a telco. I don't think it has any of its own infrastructure. Skype itself is a clever application. It's got its own servers. You log in. You have login credentials. But I don't think it has its own infrastructure in the same way that a telco does. So what they're buying effectively is software. They're buying rights to software, aren't they?
Mm.
I think that's all they're buying. And the customer base.
And the right to put it wherever they like.
Yeah, and the right to integrate it with their existing products, for sure.
Mm.
Primal81 in our chat says, but if you think about it, Windows 8, Xbox Live, plus unified communications across all platforms.
Yeah, I agree, Primal. I think that's the thing. They're going to integrate it with their existing stuff. And if they make it work and they do it properly without, you know, roostering it up,
Look, it's all money, isn't it? It's all big money. It's money that sort of is just out of the realms of everyone's day-to-day comprehension, really.
Yeah.
$8.5 billion, what does that mean? Absolutely nothing. We'll take a break. Back with some Sony PlayStation stuff after this.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
If you're using satellite for your internet, you've got a very long lag time.
How does $3,005 grab you?
Whoa! They'd probably get rid of the step-up, step-down transformer issue and waste it.
So this has got a whack of zero. This
correct
control.
I don't have shares in them. It's not a political statement. It's just a lot of fun.
Qantas are wanting to clarify.
Ironet have just assimilated Netspace into the Borg.
Entertaining.
Graham, the name of the volcano was...
It's unpronounceable.
Informative.
Oh, look, hang on. On the back it says iPad.
Independent.
You tweeted it.
Me? Don't point at me in that tone of voice.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
This is never going to get off the ground.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
The show that goes on in here without the during the breaks is pretty impressive. So Lena's just been complaining about her iView on her iPad.
Not happy, Jan.
Allegedly, the ISP that she's on offers a free iView service.
But not on iPad.
See, the thing you've got to remember is you're using a Mac device, and a Mac and Flash don't go well together. So anything which talks directly to the iView Central, thanks, Dr. Ron,
You're welcome.
Yeah, good. Sorry, that's bang, bang, crash, and thump.
He's renovating.
Ron. He is. What are you doing over there? You're plugging things in all sorts of strange things.
I am. I'm being Graham while in Graham's absence.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Good. He doesn't make the bangs all that often.
No,
I'm. I'm learning. I've got my pee plates on.
Oh, yeah, good.
Bear with me. Hey, I've got a message from GD.
Hang on, can we finish talking about the iPad?
No, I don't think so. Oh, off you go. All right, then.
Anyway, the reason why the iPad is metered is because it doesn't play Flash natively and it has to go through a proxy server to do the translation for you.
That's all very well. If the ISP has a little asterisk on their iView is unmetered sign and says except on iPads.
They should have an asterisk that says on a direct connection it's unmetered.
Yes.
If you use a proxy service, like a Sony television set, an LG television set, an iPad will all be metered through a free ISP because it uses a proxy.
Yep. Not happy.
Big problem. But it's not just iPad, it's others that do it as well. Mm. Go ahead there, Dr. Ron.
Dr. Impatient One.
Yes.
GD says, Space Shuttle Endeavour's external tank is fully loaded with more than 500,000 gallons of liquid hydrogen and liquid oxygen.
No smoking signs have now been...
the no smoking signs have now been illuminated. The fasten seatbelt sign.
Yes.
The countdown entered a planned 2.5-hour hold at T-minus 3 hours, during which the tank will remain in stable replenish mode.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
The closeout crew, they add more.
I want to be in stable replenish mode.
I'd love to be in stable replenish mode for a T-minus 3 hours. The closeout crew will prepare the white room for astronaut arrival, and the final inspection team will conduct its inspections. Forecasters continue to predict a 70% chance of favourable weather for today's launch. That's exciting. This time next week, Endeavour will be up there.
Last one. That's it.
That's the last Endeavour.
No more. What will GD be doing in his spare time then?
The second last space shuttle mission ever.
GD, what plans do you have after the last shuttle launch goes up?
Because GD went over to see a shuttle launch and it got delayed. And
devastated.
He missed it.
Yeah, they knew he was coming.
They should fly him back for free.
They should, shouldn't they?
It certainly would be an experience, wouldn't it?
It'd be a fantastic experience.
Sony, PlayStations. Well, we all know what's happened with Sony this week and last week and the week before that. It's a bit like a tsunami. It just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And then it disappeared off the radar for some time, and it has been there for a while. But anyway, there are questions that need to be asked, and answers are forthcoming. But let's start off with Adam Turner's view from the couch this week about moving to 123 Fake Street, I think.
That's his address now, is it?
That's his address, yeah.
New address.
Yeah.
Adam Turner's view from the couch.
Like me, do you live at 123 Fake Street? I'm wondering, after the Sony PlayStation hack, should we trust online services with our details? Call me paranoid, but I prefer to give online services as little information about me as possible. Actually, all service providers in general. Initially, it was more due to concerns about spam and targeted marketing, but these days I'm naturally concerned about what kind of profile hackers could build if they managed to get their hands on that data. Identity thieves can start with the most inconsequential of data and steadily build up a detailed picture of you. Online services tend to ask for a lot of information that they don't really need, and often you can't leave that box blank. I tend to put in fake details wherever possible, such as address, phone number, date of birth. Looking back, I'm glad I faked some of that data when I set up my PlayStation Network account. I just figured that Sony didn't need to know all of that information, but now having the wrong details will hopefully also make it harder for identity thieves trying to make something of the stolen data. I also make a habit of using different passwords for different services. Using the same password for everything is a major security risk. Even if most services protect your data, it only takes one to get hacked and your password is out there. Once the bad guys have your PlayStation Network password, for example, they'll probably try using that password to get into your Facebook, Twitter, and Gmail account. You might get lazy sometimes and reuse passwords, but the more sensitive a service is, for example, your online banking, the more important it is that you use a strong and unique password. The same goes for passwords and passcodes that are used for call center services or shops such as the video store. All those passwords and passcodes are stored somewhere, so they're vulnerable to theft. My local video store expects me to call out my passcode while there's a guy standing right behind me, which is crazy. If someone manages to break into the water company's database to get my passcode, or the computer at the local video store to get my passcode, I need to make sure that they're not going to walk away with the passcode from my online banking or my social security.
Now, my email provider lets me create lots of email aliases, and I often use them to sign up for different services. For instance, Facebook at example.com and Twitter at example.com. These all forward to my main account, me at example.com. This is a handy trick because it makes it easy for me to tell if various services are spamming me. It also makes it easy to spot spoof emails which come to my main address claiming to be from the different services. I also suspect that it makes it harder for identity thieves to cross-reference data. It should make it harder for them to link my various services if I'm using different email addresses. I probably should use different logins and usernames more often as well. It's worth sitting down every now and then to look for weak links in your security. Which services are the most sensitive? Which are the least secure? What passwords are the weakest? Which passwords might have been compromised? And what are the possible consequences? What would thieves have access to if they stole your desktop, your notebook, your network drive, your smartphone, or your tablet? Sitting down for the occasional security audit could save you a lot of hassle. There's no foolproof way to completely protect yourself from identity theft, short of living off the grid. But there are sensible precautions you can take to reduce the risks.
Entertaining, informative, and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Yeah, domains are cheap these days. Grab yourself an email address and do what Adam said. I do that. It's really good. You can see who's where the spammers come from too, which is very good. So you can say, ah, Mr. Sony, did you give you my details to such and such? It's good. Do you do that?
I do. I do. I have a mail server at home, which is probably above and beyond what most people would have at home. But I create a new email address. Anyone can do this. It's quite easy. We can create an alias.
Yeah, your ISP will do this.
Yeah. Create it every time you sign up for a new service or a new subscription. And that way, when you get emailed to that address, you know where it's come from and you know who's sharing your addresses around. You can jump on it straight away if there's an issue.
Yeah. They're very good. Or if not, you can, even if you get, register your own domain, go and pick one of the US companies there. They'll give you a 2 years hosting for a song and do it yourself. It's pretty easy.
And get unlimited email addresses and you'll be
for
fine.
For two buttons and a piece of lint.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, because you're back this week, Lena, I can play this.
Tech Talk Games with Lena Van Deventer.
Just because we're talking Sony.
Yes.
Sony, the perilous. Now, what were you saying? You were saying something whilst we were listening to Adam there too.
Sony were particularly bad for asking for more information than they really needed.
Yeah.
Signing up for my Xbox information, making my gamer tag and everything, and making my Sony profile were two very different beasts. And I think Sony didn't need all the information they asked for. They don't need your street address. They don't need all these extra things. Why do they need my phone number?
The boss of Sony came out during the course of the week, and he sort of, the apology, it sort of was an apology with a lot of companies spin, may I say. Mm. Sound a bit like a, they should have been politicians, but I think it's part of the Japanese way. We have no meltdown here, nothing to see, it's fine, it's all good, all
cut
good.
Cut from the same cloth, aren't they?
Wasn't the Emperor made an announcement when Hiroshima bomb dropped saying the war's not going well?
Did he?
Yeah, that was their way of saying that. So they do like to understate.
Well, Sony are actually going to give us a few goodies. Well, so they say.
They have to offer some sort of carrot on a stick, especially to the PlayStation Plus subscribers. Who
Should we hear from them? Would you like to hear what they had to say?
I would love to hear
this is the Sony. It's been slightly edited because it went on. I've pulled about an hour out of it, but other than that, it's concise now and to the point. But the man behind Sony came out and basically this is what he had to say.
Hello, my name is Kazuo Hirai, and I'd like to share some news about our PlayStation and Curiosity services. First of all, I'd like to send my sincere apologies for the inconvenience the service outage has caused you, and want to thank you for all the patience that you've shown as we worked through this restoration process. Since the attacks on our networks, we've been working around the clock to bring game and media services back online. The service is being restored in phases, and I'm pleased to say that the first phase has now been launched in most regions of the world. This includes sign-in for PlayStation Network and Curiosity services, online gameplay across PS3 and PSP, Music Unlimited if you have a current subscription for PS3 and PC, access to third-party services such as Netflix, Hulu, Vudu, and MLB.TV, Friends List, chat functionality, trophy comparison, and PlayStation Home. PS3 users will immediately notice one of our new security features. All PS3 customers must change their PSN and Curiosity account passwords. Your new password can only be changed on the same PS3 in which your account was activated or through validated email confirmation. And we will be returning the rest of our services, including PlayStation Store and purchasing features for Curiosity, as soon as possible. We know you've invested in Sony and the PlayStation Network and Curiosity services, and we will do everything we can to regain your trust and confidence. We also realize that actions speak louder than words, and we're taking aggressive action to address the concerns that were raised by this incident. And most important, we have greatly upgraded our data security systems. These changes were the result of an intensive investigation aided by some of the most respected forensics and security experts in the computer industry. Our upgraded system includes components such as advanced security technology, increased levels of encryption, additional firewalls, and an early warning detection system for any unusual activity that could signal an attack on the network. Now, what this means for you, our customers, is greater protection of the information you have entrusted to us. We felt that we owed it to you to fully verify the security of the networks before restoring our services. And to show our gratitude for your patience, support, and words of encouragement, we're offering our customers a welcome back package of content and services. The details of the welcome back program will be available on regional websites for your territory and be formally announced in the coming days. We're confident that your welcome back package will help you get back to using the PlayStation Network and Curiosity services that you've missed. The last few weeks have been tough for all of us. And please know that we're doing everything we can to fully restore network services around the world and to regain your trust over the days, weeks, and months to come. I appreciate your time and support. Thank you.
Like I said, they're cut from the same cloth, aren't they? Politicians, Sony executives. Isn't that disgraceful?
The use of language in that is pretty abhorrent.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, it's very, very clever.
I reckon Julia Gillard would be after their PR company for spin doctoring purposes, wouldn't it?
What? Like, he's saying things like, oh, we felt that we owed it to you. Oh, really, Mr. Yeah. Sony? Why is it that you feel that you owe it to anybody? Is it...
Whose fault is it?
Yeah, I wonder whose fault
the stuff
this
went AWOL in the first place.
Exactly
making
right.
Making it sound like they're a real stand-up guy.
Oh, now they've launched phase one. Oh, that's good. Yeah, they've launched it. Yeah, that's terrific.
They'll be up there with a shuttle in next to no time.
Oh, they've taken it upon themselves to do something proactive for us.
They've built a special little welcome back parcel.
A welcome back package.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice of them?
I wonder if it has cellophane and a big bow on it.
This is infuriating. Sony, just if you put half the effort into your spin doctoring as you did into your internet and online security, PlayStation Network users would be much, much happier right about now.
Mm.
It shouldn't have happened in the first place.
It should not have happened in the first place. And all this spin doctoring just does nothing to endear people to Sony.
Not at all.
They just went home one weekend early and left the door open, and that was the end of it. That's all it takes. Someone just, you know, left a little way in, and someone took advantage of it. And
Do you think it was an inside job? Do you think it was someone who used to work for Sony or knew that there was a glaring omission somewhere? Or do you think someone just
took
a shot?
Can I borrow your conspiracy cap for a minute?
Yes, please. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
It's
a bit small. you can speculate about that as much as you like, but yeah. I guess, you've got to take that into consideration. It's whether it was somebody who, because let's face it, passwords are traditionally fairly, you know, hard to crack.
Mm.
You would think so for an organisation like that, unless you log into Sony, admin, and the password's like Sony 1234 or something like that. Oh, we're in, guys.
Yeah, admin and admin.
Password's
admin, yeah.
So, but yes, it's one of those things. It's taken globally 100 million people offline, not to mention the Curiosity stuff, because that only got launched a little while back.
It was only launched a month or so before they had this what did they call it?
Criminal intrusion.
Intrusion.
A malicious attack.
That's right. Malicious intrusion.
I've had a criminal intrusion in the hospital.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah,
ouch.
Did it heal?
It did after a while. That's why I went there.
How's Brian's toe, by the way?
Don't mention the war.
Oh, really?
At least he's got self-defense mechanisms. Now, Brian's the office, in at the Tech Talk office. He holds the fort, and he's got a crutch now, so he can beat off people with a big stick.
Yeah, well, he had an ingrown toenail, the poor man.
He did.
Well, now he can beat the ladies off with a stick.
He posted on Facebook and Twisp. Oh.
Yes,
there won't be any ladies to fend off with a big stick.
Twit picking those sorts of things.
Anyway, so that's Sony. Anything else we need to add to that, apart from the fact that you're going to get your hamper and the courier's going to knock on your door if you've got a PS3 in the next little bit?
I've been offered to wash my car as well, is all I've got to say.
Yeah?
Yeah. I had a check to see if I had any details on my account, and I haven't put my credit card on my Sony account before, so I was happy to check that, unless Sony's come on and wiped the details off everyone's thing, so you don't actually really know whether you put your details up or not, which they may have. They may have just taken them all off, and if you want to use it, you have to put them back on again.
Someone hacked it. They probably put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 in there now, so you probably have to change it. Yes, it's... Yeah... I know, one of those incidents that shouldn't happen. But anyway, what else is happening in the wonderful world of gaming? You were saying that some Australian...
That's taking up a lot of the news at the moment.
Yeah.
Seeing as it's making it into mainstream news. So when a game-related thing makes it into mainstream news, we all get very excited because people remember we exist. But there's also a game that's coming out this week. I think it's coming out on Thursday, called L.A. Noire. And this is an Australian-developed game, a AAA title, which is very exciting. We don't get many big, big, big games that Australia is responsible for, so this is a very, very exciting thing. It was the first video game to be shown at the Tribeca Film Festival, and its name might give you a hint into its content. It's sort of that film noir type look, and it's set in the 1940s and 50s, sort of era there, and it's a detective sort of Mulholland Drive type game.
Interesting.
Yeah.
A whodunit.
Is that out now, Lena? Or is it?
It's out on Thursday, I think.
Thursday.
I think.
For what platforms, do we know?
That'll be on
Sony?
PlayStation 3, hopefully, and Xbox
360.
No, it won't.
And yeah. Xbox 360, yeah.
Xbox 360.
PC?
I think it is coming out on PC, but that'll be later. Or it might not be.
Does it have a rating?
Yes, it'll be...
What are those Peggy things called?
It's Peggy 18.
Peggy 18.
But our rating system,
I think we had that here, did we?
No, we don't. That's America.
PG 18.
We have MA15 plus.
Oh, good.
Is what it is for us.
And but what's in there that would really normally good. Call it R? Is it sexual stuff, or is it alcohol, or is it drugs, or is it...
Drug use.
Violence.
Violence. I can't remember the way they word the sexual themes, but it's hilarious the way it's worded. It's like undue sexual themes or some absurd wording like that.
I was watching what's the ABC program on the gaming thing, with Hex and
Good Game,
yeah.
Hex and Bajo.
It's very interesting the way they get around some of the terminology. I have a bit of a chuckle there.
It's very carefully worded and very carefully written, yeah.
It is. But to the point where they edit games to get classifications now, so they'll take out there was a game that they were talking about the other day where something had to happen which traditionally would have been refused classification in this country. So what they did is they just changed the words a little bit and they got it through the...
Yeah, it's happened to a few games, actually.
Do you know anyone who works at the Office of Film Literature Classification or whoever they might happen to be called these days who has the pleasure of sitting down and playing every single computer game that comes into the country?
No.
That'd be your ideal job.
That would be your perfect job, wouldn't
it? Yeah, it would actually. But they were applying... they were open for jobs a little while ago, actually. About a year ago, I think, they were... had sort of a cattle call for anyone who wants to come and help out.
I reckon that they wouldn't have too many problems getting full-timers up there.
No,
really?
I don't think so. I think they'd probably even be able to get away with having it as a volunteer position.
I imagine.
Why have to pay them if you wouldn't have to? People are putting their hand up anyway.
Yeah. Now, I do have a bone to pick with you.
No.
You've corrupted Dr. Ron.
I have.
I've seen tweets, which I would not normally
He's
have seen if
converted.
He hadn't have met you. He has...
And he loved every minute of it, didn't he, Ron?
So teetering on the brink of divorce at the moment, but that's okay.
Oh, Lane, see? Portal 2 has co-op. You can play together.
No, don't go
there. Family breaker.
No. Portal 2, no, don't even joke about it yet. No, I finished Portal 1 yesterday, was it?
Does Mrs. Ron, Dr. Ron, know that there's Portal 2?
She does, and she's not amused. All talk of Portal has been banned in the house now.
Oh, really?
It's all a therapy. It's all the, curling up in the ball, rocking backwards and forwards in the corner.
Well, it's not a scary game.
It's mind-bending, and it's so frustrating. And I've got to say, for those of you that are finished, without any spoilers or anything, there's about 19 levels.
Yep.
I think level 18 I found to be the hardest.
Mm.
And I looked at that for days and days and days and couldn't figure it out. And I thought, I've got to, there's only one way I can get across there, and it's to use lots of gravity and lots of physics. And I thought, oh, I think I know how to do this. And bang, I'd done it, and it was done. And then I got through level 19 quite quickly. Didn't spend much time there. And finished the game, and it's very impressive.
Yeah, yes. It's an amazing game. It's something I think everyone should play, especially considering as it was made originally for just as a throwaway thing to go in the orange box, which was Team Fortress 2, Half-Life Episode 2, and Portal. So it was all done, all Valve games put in a box to sell in shops and also online as well. So it was just a small title they chucked in as sort of a filler, and it's been hugely successful, and it impressed the pants off everyone.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Mm. Now, they've put so much thought into it, and it's really, really polished, and it's a lot of fun. If you like thinking games, it's a real mind-bender of a game.
It is.
You've got to put your thinking cap on and then some.
It's really, really good. Yeah. Graham's looking forward to it when he has the time. He's going to play it when he's on holiday.
I think it's the sort of thing that will appeal to Graham.
I think so too. Anyone who really likes physics,
you're
going to like it. I hate physics. I don't even understand how it works. But I still, I liked Portal.
When you jump off a building, you don't understand how that works?
Well, you've got GLaDOS
there's
talking
gravity
through
and stuff
it,
and everything.
And she says, speedy thing goes in, speedy thing comes out.
Yes.
That's how she describes
That's right.
the Portal. Speedy thing comes in, speedy thing goes out. But no, it's a fantastic game. I think everyone should play it at some point.
It's a lot of fun. What I've got to work out now is, do I run through it again before I go on to Portal 2? Should I go through it again knowing what I know now?
I don't reckon you need to.
No.
You can if you want to. Now that you've played through the whole game, you've unlocked the ability to play it with the developer commentary.
Yeah.
So that's always really interesting.
So is that like when you watch a DVD or a Blu-ray or something and you have the director's commentary, like a soundtrack, you can play the game with a commentary running?
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So you can actually hear tidbits about the voiceover actors, and they're telling you all about how we wanted to actually make this level go around to the left there, but we couldn't make that work because then this would break that and that. And there's reasons why they explain why they went certain ways with the narrative and all that. And it's fascinating to learn more about it. If you really like a game, it's a great way to learn as much as possible about how it came to be.
I'll have to do it. I'll have to run through it again from the start with the commentary on, I think.
Yeah.
Yes. And I've got to remember now how to solve all the puzzles as well.
And you know, the key to keeping your partner happy, which is a very important part in gaming, is to spend, for every 1 hour you spend playing a game, you spend 2 hours with your partner.
Oh, but there's not enough time in the world, though.
Or maybe one for one.
One
for one is good.
All
she
right.
can deal with one for one.
I'll have to get you, your people to talk to my people
right,
because otherwise...
I'll take her to the movies.
You do that while I was also home and play Portal. Yeah.
Done. I can do that. That'll be fun.
Have you been only She's playing lovely. At home, or have you been playing in your spare time at the office around the photocopier?
No, it's only been at home.
Oh, you're a good boy.
Yes. It hasn't been too much time at home, actually. Probably, I don't know how many hours it takes to get through it from go to woe. But
so when do you allocate about, time? Like, between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. in the morning?
Or if I've got an hour spare on the weekend or something, I pop it on. Yeah, maybe probably 8 hours or something like that.
8 hours. But 8 hours if you get stuck at
But that last level, probably spend a couple of hours on that last level just trying to puzzle it out. But I look at it playing it for half an hour, I'm not getting anywhere, I'm not achieving anything. I think there's something obvious in my face here that I'm not seeing.
Yep.
Just go away, leave it alone for 24 hours.
Just touch base with the basic synopsis of the Portal game, because those people go, I have no idea what you're talking about. What do you got to do? You got to get through, it's a bit like Doctor Who, but on steroids, is it?
You are the subject of a science experiment, which has been conducted in Aperture
Laboratories. Aperture Science.
The whole premise of Portal is that you have to get from one side of a puzzle to the other, and you have a portal gun. And if you shoot a portal in the wall, and then you say shoot a portal in another wall, you can walk through. So you go through one portal and you come out the other one.
There's blue portals and orange portals. You can shoot either one. Right mouse click is blue portal, left mouse click is orange portal. So by choosing where you're putting your blue portal, which is the one you come into, and the orange portal is the one you come out of, you then have to traverse the map by doing that, which means you can put one, say if you're standing high above a ravine looking down, you can put a blue portal down there and an orange portal behind you up on the wall. This is great for radio, me pointing everywhere. And you can fall into the blue one and it will propel you out the orange one further ahead of where you are right now before you drop. It's that sort of moving your mind in that lateral way to get where you need to go. And once you're in that portal mindset, you just keep going and you keep flying.
Are there videos on YouTube, Lena, with gameplay so people can see what it looks like?
There are. You can look up, there's some walkthrough videos if you want to just watch someone else play it instead of actually playing it yourself.
Yep, sure.
So if you want to be assimilated into the Borg, where do you get this from? Where's the best place? Steam or whatever?
Steam, yep. You can buy it on Steam. You can buy it in stores as well because there's Xbox and PlayStation versions of Portal as well.
Okay.
I prefer PC with Portal, though, I have to say.
Yep, I did it on the PC.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Steam is the way to buy it. You can buy the Orange Box in stores for PC as well and Mac. I'd definitely say...
Very good.
PC.
And Steam is at steampowered.com. That's the address.
That's the online shop. What's the cost?
Store. Oh, a couple of bucks.
Yeah, nothing.
$5, $10, something like that.
And your wife will hate you for 15, some maybe? Time.
And you'll hate yourself for doing it too. Good. You'll get grey hair and you'll lose sleep.
Excellent. Well,
Portal
there you go.
2 is about double the length. And it's got co-op campaign as well, so you can actually play with each other.
Bigger, faster, better?
Yep.
Fantastic. Back with more after this.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
Android smartphones have gone ballistic. Dr. Ron, glad you could make it.
Thanks for having me.
There's something really wrong going on in this country with the price of petrol.
Time to buy from the US, all those collectors out there.
Absolutely.
You went, oh, duh, Dr. Ron, you listened to your own news segment.
And it was a particularly violent game.
And I think that's a damn fine thing for those that need it.
He's an Apple snob. He's even bigger than he is.
Entertaining, informative, independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
You are indeed. Andrew McComb in this evening with Lena and Dr. Ron. Dr. Graham, unfortunately, had a better offer.
Did he have pneumonia or something?
Oh, I wonder who he caught that from.
No.
Something you haven't been telling us?
Still got that conspiracy hat on?
Yeah, absolutely. You can have back now.
No, Graham sends his apologies. He'll be frantically bashing a podcast together shortly after we finish up this program, and he'll be back next week.
No sprightly opinion for the demo reel.
The Rob Oak shot of Tech Talk Radio.
Yep.
I can do my best impression. The battery!
He got very angry last week.
It's not powered by Android. It's powered by Android. Battery.
It's powered by a battery, Andrew.
Exactly. Yes.
Rah!
Hey, just before we move off the Sony thing, there's 25 class actions now in the United States heading Sony's way over data theft.
Ouch.
That's got to be... Some of them, those, have got to stick, surely.
25 class actions?
Yeah, Sony has been named on at least 25 class action lawsuits in the US federal courts since its system was hacked last month. Lawsuits accuse Sony of negligence and breach of contract for allowing the personal data of more than 100 million online video game users to be compromised and stolen. Now, why do you reckon they collect more than they should when it comes to personal information, Lena? You were sort of saying before that you think they did. Is there a reason for that?
I don't know why. I don't know why.
They're trying to build a profile of you or something like that.
Maybe they just want information on how to target things towards you better. Ads and whatnot.
Probably. While you have someone's attention, they're filling in forms, you might as well ask, because all I can say is no, we'll give you the wrong information.
Exactly, yeah. Maybe they just use it for harvesting their own demographics or...
Yeah, 123 Fake Street, 123 Fake Street, Springfield.
Yep.
Place to be. A lot of people live there, apparently, including Adam.
Well, me now too.
Yeah? Excellent.
We used to put our email addresses. If a form needed an email address...
Bill@whitehouse.gov.
Yes, but Bill@whitehouse.gov.
Yeah, I think I still do in a lot of instances. I still like Mailinator though. Do you use that?
I haven't used Mailinator for a long time. No, that's an anonymous remailer.
It still works really well. So if you get caught, you go to those websites and they say, if we're going to give you this information, you've got to give us your email address.
Yeah.
Before you give them your real email address, go to a website called Mailinator.com and just think of anything. Call yourself ABC123 or, President Clinton at Mailinator.com, and then just log into Mailinator and say, hi, President Clinton, hear any messages?
I have a hierarchy of email addresses.
Do you?
Yep. There's one that I give to everyone and everything and I don't care. And then there's one that only the cool people know about. Then there's one that only the really cool people know about.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, we're the same. We have one which family only knows.
Yep.
So
it's a good idea.
It is.
I used to use one called, I'm trying to find it now, Sneak Mail or Sneak Email or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Have you used a sneaky one?
No.
That used to work really well. It worked so well that I can't even tell you what the address
Feecan lives at 123 Fake Street. I knew it's getting very crowded over there in
123
Springfield.
123B Fake Street, she said. The granny flat out the back. Yeah. Right. And Warlock said, one Microsoft Way, Wonderland, 90210.
Excellent. Should put down one Infinity Loop, Cupertino.
Infinity Loop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to Infinite Loop.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll trick them.
We should break out the garage band later, the garbage band.
Gee, the guys last week used GarageBand to make the Vodafail.
Yeah.
The musical.
Impressive,
and
wasn't it?
He was saying there was no autotune button, but there is. I should email him. You can autotune on GarageBand.
What does that mean?
Autotune.
It means you sing in tune with the music.
You know that slidey thing that people are using on the radio now?
Yeah, because I can't sing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that. There's a button on GarageBand that helps you autotune.
Great.
On the show he said he couldn't find one, but I know where one is, so I should email him.
Email Scott, let him know.
I will.
While we're talking about Apple.
Yes.
Apple made it to the top of the most valuable brands this week. They're now worth $115 billion, which went up 84%. Sorry, I lied.
Could
They're
have
now
bought
worth $153 billion, which went up 84%.
Could have bought a few Skypes with that.
Yeah, could have. Mm. But it's all to do with iGadgets, really, isn't it? Everyone's got one now. You've got one.
Mm-hmm. I got many.
Yeah? You've got an iPhone and an iPad.
I've got an iPhone, an iPad, two iPods, an iMac.
Yeah.
MacBook Pro, PowerBook, and...
So you're upping the averages for them. You're actually funding a lot of people's back pockets over there, which is...
See? Helping out.
Yeah, good. Dr. Ron, how many have you got?
You're not helping out, Lynn. You're part of the problem.
No, it's not a problem.
You're out
at
of
all.
Control. No. How many iThings have you got? You've got iPads, iPods.
She needs two hands.
iPacks, iMacs.
Counting by fingers on the two hands. We'll be on the toes in a minute.
Ridiculous. Well, it's balanced out by me, who has nada.
And people call me Andy Apple. I've got two. I've got an iPhone, which I gave away, so it's probably half of mine now.
Yep.
And I've got an iPad, which the kids love. And I think it's one of the best things Apple have ever brought out, the iPad. Mm. But anyway, iPad 2 came out, and it's done wonders for them.
Nothing if not balanced in here, then.
Yeah.
We are tonight, anyway.
Individually, we're not balanced. We're very skewed. But collectively, we're balanced.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, it was all the new versions of the iPhone, iMacs, and iTablets that helped Cupertino double its sales and profits in the last quarter last year, which pushed them up there.
Keeping relevant.
Yeah, that too. Mm. But where does Macca's fit into it? Number three.
McDonald's?
What does it say about our lifestyles these days? Hell. If Apple's number one, Google's number two.
What do you mean number one? Number one in terms
of... brand worth.
Brand worth.
Yeah.
So we're on our iMacs eating our Big Macs.
Correct.
What was number two?
Number two is Google.
Searching something about Macs.
Number three is McDonald's. Number four is IBM.
Really?
Yeah. So we're tech, junk food tech. Speaks volumes about our society, doesn't it?
It does.
But we're talking about brand recognition there. So IBM's been around for a long time, hasn't it?
It has. Something, well, international business machines, isn't
international
it?
Business the machines. For it. I think I decommissioned my OS2 Warp Connect server only a few years ago. Lena's looking, what? Oh, huh? What's that?
Is that like these book things? It is
like
about
a book thing.
What are they? Yes. And what's Bing?
What is Bing? I hear you ask.
A lot of people ask that question. What's Bing?
In Adam Turner's couch segment, he talked about a video shop.
Yeah, what's going on there? We forgot to raise that.
That Adam Turner's segment actually raised a lot more questions than it answered.
It did.
And he will be in next week, because you won't be.
He, of all people, goes to a video shop. How dare you?
That's quite odd for Adam to go into a video store.
Maybe he's got one just next door, so it's actually quicker to to walk next door.
Maybe he walked in by accident. He was looking for the fish and chip shop.
Maybe he burns a copy every time he borrows one.
Borrows 10 titles, walks out, comes back half an hour later and returns them.
Yep. Why not? Oh, I don't do that. No.
Adam, explain yourself. Yeah. Next week. When's he coming in? Next week?
Well, you're going to see.
I'm going to be
Will
away
Smith
next week. He's coming in off the bench.
Yeah, the better off. You're going to be in a television studio audience.
I will be. I'll be.
Haven't you had enough of TV and radio being in audiences and doing shows?
Yeah. But I'll be. Hopefully, there won't be an embargo on the twittering and the twit picking like there was at the Logies.
Because that went well.
That worked really well for them, didn't it?
So. That was like a red rag to a bull, really.
Oh, it certainly was. Yeah. We'll see how we go. So next week there'll be Andrew, Lena, and Graham and Adam.
Yeah,
it'll be a fun show. I'm going to miss out.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will.
You get to see Adam Hills, though, and celebrities.
I do.
Well, who does the warm-up for Adam? He's a very funny man. He's very big on Twitter, too.
I'll give you a full report in 2 weeks.
Yeah?
I'll listen to the show live on TuneIn Radio.
Can you call in live from the studio? That'd be really funny, actually.
I'll try. I'll see what
Dr. Ron, come in. Dr. Ron, over. Up the back there, and Adam Hills going, who's that guy on the phone up the back?
it's people like us that cause unrest.
Yeah. Where do they take
that?
I'm on
the radio.
Kind of Gordon Street, isn't it?
It is at, in Elster and Wick.
Yeah.
Elster and Wick.
Some good shops in that part of the strip, too. Have you noticed? Yeah. Should we talk about a bit of tech rather than self-indulgent stuff, such as what everyone's doing next week? Facebook had a bit of a, Google had a bit of a go at Facebook for all the wrong reasons during the course of the week.
Yes, they did.
This was quite funny, actually, because it wasn't really, someone was exaggerating the truth in one of the agencies, wasn't it? You read about this, talked about this in the news, didn't you, Dr.
Yeah, I did. Well, the Google didn't have a go at them for all the wrong reasons. They're perfectly justified in having a go at them because Facebook was waging a covert smear campaign against Google. Now, when they got caught out, they said, oh, no, that's not what we were doing. We were actually just contracted a PR firm to do some research for us.
Yes, Burson Mostella.
Whatevs.
Mostella.
Whatevs. Yeah. Burson Mostella is the PR agency. You're right, Andrew. Yes, they approached an independent blogger to... Yeah, right, grubby stuff. And the blogger not only declined, but...
Told everyone about it. Oh, yeah. Brilliant.
Isn't it great?
Oh, I want to shake that person's hand.
Yes.
Did the right thing there.
The Facebook spokesman said that they had hired the PR firm to undertake investigations into how a new Google service called Social Circle collects users' data, but acknowledged that Facebook could have handled the matter better.
Mm. Just a tad.
Do you know about Social Circle?
No.
Google's trying to supplement its search results with posts on walls, on Facebook walls and tweets and things.
Oh, can we not?
That's what it is, what they're trying to do.
I don't like it.
Social Circle.
Well, Google's also trying to launch a new music service too. There's all sorts of new things that's coming along. Haven't got all the music people online. I'm not too versed about it yet. I just know that there's stuff in the wings which they launched the other day, which is potentially a new music system, an on-demand type sort of system, streaming. Yet another one, because that's what the world needs more. So we'll have to watch this space a little bit more too. You found it?
No. Have you watched the movie on Facebook yet?
Yeah, I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
Did it work all right?
Yeah, it was good.
Did you have to pay for it?
No. Well, yes, you do. But we just had a bit of a sneak peek on someone else's account. So personally, I didn't pay for it.
Ah, okay.
Very slow. Well, when I say very slow, very low res. You know what I mean?
It's not what Facebook's for. No. I use Facebook, but I don't think I'd go to Facebook as my... first choice for watching a movie.
I sit down and I check in Facebook.
Yes.
And then I check off Facebook.
Yes.
And then I'm done with Facebook. I don't sit and hang on Facebook.
No. These people who like chatting on Facebook, it's very rude.
Yeah.
You pop in there for 2 seconds.
Why is it rude?
I'm always offline on chat on Facebook.
You pop into Facebook for 2 seconds to see who's up to what. And then someone says, g'day. And you go, oh, go away. I'm just here for 2 seconds. I haven't got time for this.
And then you've got to skirt around the issue that you want to go, and you don't want to be rude, but you...
Damn social networking. People. It's very inconvenient. It's an intrusion on your life.
LimeWire. When I'm on my computer.
LimeWire. You've used it?
The illegal music downloading service.
I think everybody's used it, haven't they?
That's what it's for, isn't it?
I haven't.
Haven't you?
Nope.
Okay. Are you a torrent girl?
Nope.
No? Okay.
Before we had torrent technology...
LimeWire was it, wasn't
it? We used peer-to-peer file sharing technology like LimeWire.
I used Napster.
Napster.
And I used Kazaa.
Speaking of illegal
showing your age now.
Music downloading services.
But I never
services.
Used LimeWire. LimeWire came out to me after my iTunes account. So I just used iTunes.
Well, how about this? The operators of LimeWire agreed to pay record companies $105 million US dollars. That's about 95 million Australian dollars. Ending a federal trial over copyright infringement damages owned by the once popular but now defunct file sharing service. Ooh. The settlement with 13 record companies include labels such as Sony Corp, Warner Music, and a few others that we'd all probably know. But the really strange thing about it is, from what I can believe, is none of the royalties are going back to artists or goes into record companies.
Well, Metallica
pockets.
Are up in arms.
I remember seeing that on the telly at the time.
It was Napster, but they were leading the charge, weren't they, against Napster back in the day, saying they weren't getting enough money?
Yeah, I remember seeing an interview with the Metallica singer, the lead singer whose name eludes me at the moment, saying that about plumbing, if you're a plumber, can I call you around and not pay the bill? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a silly name. I can't remember what it is, but it's silly.
One of those
it's a
things.
Silly rock star name.
And before Napster, let's all shout hip hip hooray if you remember Direct Connect.
No.
Direct Connect?
Napster was my first.
Direct Connect. Come on, someone in the chat room, back me up, please.
Direct Connect.
That was one of the very, very first ones. That was before Napster.
Is it like a Laplink cable, which are parallel inverted cables, so you can go from...
No, that was... I used
to... down the gutter pipe.
That was Laplink.
Neighbor.
Oh, that's right. That was Laplink.
LL3.exe. Yeah, you stuck it up.
You are showing your age now, Dr. Ron.
You have your Laplink cable in your laptop bag and off you go. Absolutely. No, Direct Connect was like a peer-to-peer, very early peer-to-peer file sharing program. Mm.
All right. The other funny thing, which I thought was worth a bit of a laugh this week, which you also covered off in the news, was the fact that the guys up at Ulladulla, where Telstra had a pair of cable, took out 1,200 services or something like that, and the guys concreted over it before. Oops, quick, let's get the concrete mixer in. Quick.
Not only did they put a backhoe through the cable, they filled the hole up with quickset as fast as they could.
It reminds me of my children. Oh, it wasn't me, Dad. No, it wasn't me. And there's these contractors standing there and going, oh, it's time for a smoko. Oh, Telstra's here. I wonder what they're doing. No, it wasn't us. No, what?
And why are they jackhammering our new freshly laid concrete? What's going on there, two dogs? Oh, yes, actually put a backhoe through the cable.
Very funny, really, wasn't it?
Very funny.
Google kills 11 bad Android apps.
Oh.
This is one of the downsides. We're
only 12 million more to go.
Yeah, there's a few to go. Google has removed 11 of these malicious applications containing code capable of sending premium MMSs and SMSs, would you believe? The code was discovered by a Taiwanese antivirus firm. And basically what happened was the infections would activate and deliver spam messages to three premium SMS services as soon as you step foot in China.
Ooh.
So if you're roaming and you had these apps on and you lobbed up in, middle of wherever, Shanghai in China, your phone would go off on all by itself and send text to SMS services. So obviously these guys were benefiting by the cash from the SMS
sounds
these
like
premium
it.
Services, weren't they? So, well done, Google. As Lena says, though, there's a few more to go.
Yeah.
A few more to go. That's one of the downsides, I guess, of the free market where it comes. That's where Android is at the bottom
of
the food
of
chain. Food chain, yes. Where you've got Apple at the top where everything gets vetted and sometimes it doesn't manage to actually get through. So
I kind of like that.
Do you? Yeah, yep. It's not bad, actually, if you like the side of things. But then again, I've got a colleague of mine who was in the office today, actually. He's as Mac as they come. And every time he brings a memory stick in, you go, oh, no, it'll have a virus on it because he's had it in his Mac machines. And, of course, the Macs aren't – they don't need – they don't recognize a boot sector thing and a little disk, little flash drive.
What?
So – yours, well, he goes.
Yes, they do.
He goes off and he uses print services and gives them sticks and stuff like that. And then he puts in his machine and it's fine. Mm. And then he brings it to me and says, oh, can you put the file on this for me? And I go, oh, do I have to put this in my machine? You push it in, bang, warning. There's a boot sector virus or something like that. I said, yes, the joys of it all. But anyway, that's another story. I'd like to talk briefly about Westpac. They're going to try near field payment systems very shortly, too. That's probably the last of the big four. I don't know where ANZ have done any yet, but I think the others have. Because you walk into your local Bunnings shop and stuff like that these days, and you've got near field stuff everywhere. Have you got the pay?
Is this near field that you just wave it in front of it?
Yes.
Ah.
Yes. So you don't need a pin?
You don't need
you
a
don't
pin.
You don't need to sign anything?
It's like you're going to JB Hi-Fi. They've got it, $100, and
$100?
You just wave your card across there.
And that's it.
Go.
That's all you have to do.
Yep.
That'd be good.
But you need the special card from your banking, from your bank or your financial institution.
Correct. It has to have the words pay pass, I think, indelibly etched into the device and a little chip on it.
Well, I'm a Westpac customer.
Are you?
Yeah, does that mean I'm getting it now?
Maybe. I don't know whether it's in the card or not. Let me have a check here.
You might have to wait till your card expires and it gets replaced.
Yeah.
Oh, 2 years. Although I need a new card because I've kind of killed it.
Anyway, they're going to try contactless mobile phone payment technology too, which is where Apple's going to go too, I'd suspect.
So
and
I
a lot
can
of
just
them
wave my phone in front of it.
Yeah. You can wave your phone across it. And this should be pretty common, I'd say, in a few years' time. And everyone go, what are you talking about? What's all the fuss about? Anyway, the bank intends to conduct an internal near-field communications trial later this month to shed light on customers and the merchant experience. So, yes, they're doing this because there's a lot of new devices, handsets coming out onto the market, which are near-field enabled. So that'd be good. I don't know how you do that with your phone, but obviously there's a way of doing it. You can say, I'm going to turn my phone into a Visa or into a MasterCard and wave it at devices as I go through.
We'll be able to leave our wallets at home.
Yeah, the only thing that bothers me about those sort of things is that a phone is traditionally easier to lose than your wallet. Would you not agree?
I don't.
Because even in the office, if you look at theft, and I don't mean it from a small office where everyone trusts each other. I mean for the fact that if you walk into an office and someone's got a mobile phone on the bench, it's easy to grab and do a runner with.
But is that because we don't all have, it's not like a card as well? This is my sunglasses theory that I had, where I always bought cheap, nasty sunglasses because I always broke them.
And they last for years. And
No, I kept breaking my crappy ones.
Oh.
And I said, I'm not investing in expensive sunglasses because I keep breaking them and losing them and all that.
Yeah, she doesn't have
Once
nice
I invested
things, you know,
in the nice ones, yeah. I didn't break them anymore because care of them.
That's an inverse sunglass theory. That's the wrong way around.
No, but if your phone is now your credit card as well,
yeah.
You're going to take more care of it. It's going to be harder for people to grab it. It's going to be harder for people to steal it.
But if I buy expensive sunglasses, I break them or sit on them or smash them or lose them. But if I buy cheap and nasty ones, they last for 5 years.
Oh.
So that's opposite to your experience.
Yeah, it's very opposite to my experience. Yeah. But I can't have nice things. We've established this.
We've established you can't have nice things.
Yes.
Interesting. Well, we'll have to wait and see what happens. So we need the telephone handset manufacturers to come out with this
technology. They're starting to now.
Starting to?
You watch the new iPhone. I reckon that'll be...
Do you think it'll just be a sticker you can stick on the back of your phone?
No.
Or will it be a software thing?
No, it's a coil. It's a hardware thing.
Ah.
Like a little radio loop.
Yeah, with some form of unique identifier inside, which is not easily forged.
Like the sort of thing I'm thinking of that you have in the new passports.
Yes, yes.
Oh, your little chip.
Have you been through the electronic eye scanner at the airport?
No, I haven't been through the eye scanner, but I have got a passport with one of the new coily things in the middle page.
Don't wash them. Yeah. I washed a passport once, actually.
You wash everything. You wash your wallet. You wash your mobile phone. You know, you wash everything but what you're supposed to. TikTok radio memory sticks.
At least I'm clean.
You're very clean.
The only places I have OCD is a nice, clean, wet sink, a clean, dry sink, and checking all the pockets of everything I put in the washing machine.
That's OCD, is it? Mine's laziness.
No, that's I have to check all the pockets. For everything I put in the washing machine.
Really?
I can't not do it.
You're a good girl. I don't. My wife just washes it. We'll be back with more after this.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Let's talk a little bit about what happened during the course of the week.
This is a new experience, agreeing with
I know,
Senator Conroy.
It's hard, isn't it? And
Julia. The more they lock it down, the more people will work around it.
Is it?
I don't know.
You know something I don't know?
No, I don't.
I just tried to unlock Andrew's phone with my passcode.
If you're going to cross the road, look both ways.
Entertaining.
So no more pub runs.
No more pub runs.
Informative.
Look, I agree with you, Graham.
Independent.
I can feel a churn coming on.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
I mentioned the word Optus, so I think you've thrown petrol over them.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics!
Cool! This thing is amazing!
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
Out of my hole!
The Samsung HMX U20 is a full HD camcorder with built-in USB and HDMI connectivity. I know that people get concerned when I say things with such gay abandon as full HD.
What?
But full
HD... Reckless abandon.
Yes, reckless. I'd...
But full HD means, in this context, 1920 by 1080.
Yeah, that's HD.
That's HD, isn't it?
Yeah.
At 30 frames per second using H.264 compression.
That's American HD.
Is it?
We're not 30 frames here, we're 25.
So 25 frames for the Australian version.
25, yes. Or 50 fields interlaced.
Ah, it also has 3x optical zoom.
Sorry.
You can take 7.8 megapixel stills... And you can quickly upload your videos and recharge from a PC because Samsung's included a built-in USB connector that swings out from the side panel. There's also an HDMI out port, so you can play your movies directly onto an HD TV or monitor. And there's also a one-touch upload to YouTube button.
Scary.
It's scary.
Available. You put some things on YouTube during the week too.
Black, silver, blue or red. Yeah, we did. The U20, the Samsung HMX U20, has an RRP of about $299. But many eBay online stores I found, Andrew, have it listed with a buy it now price for around $127. It's pretty good.
That's pretty cheap.
The HD camcorder, isn't
it?
Yeah. So that's our gadget, the Samsung HMX U20.
Here it is, everybody. The world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio website of the week.
Did you like this one?
Yeah, yeah, when you showed it to me during the week. This is very scary. Listen up, everyone.
www.reverseaustralia.com. Two words, reverseaustralia.com. It's the premier free reverse lookup service for mobile telephone numbers and landline telephone numbers.
No.
Now, this got within banned. Australia. This has been and gone on under several different names over the course of time.
There was one
which was a hunting one
yes.
that I remember a while back.
Which worked a little bit too well and got removed.
Yes.
Reverse Australia, however, uses the latest public databases available to keep information current and useful.
I don't know about that. Some of the data I saw was pretty old.
But some of it was... Some of the numbers that we punched in were silent numbers, and they actually came up. Some mobile phone services also came up when we tried it.
Scary. If you've ever been in a phone book, watch out.
I have to look myself up now. What is it? Reverse Australia.
ReverseAustralia.com. Yep. The website lets you enter a phone number into a simple form, and it then returns any details about the owner of the phone service, where they live, names associated with the number, and a Google map of the general area.
No good can come of this.
Well, potentially. To protect anyone from anonymous usage, if you log into a Facebook account, Reverse Australia uses your Facebook details to log access in the event of any illegal activity. But in return, if you log into Facebook, Reverse Australia will provide even more detail in its search
results. Yeah, they stick the pin exactly where the phone is in the house.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So have a look at that one. Good one for Australian listeners.
So here's another reason to live at 123 Fake Street. Don't tell Telstra where you live.
No results found at my home number.
Oh, that's good. Oof.
Keep trying, keep trying. That's our website, Andrew, reverseaustralia.com. Woohoo!
Tech Talk Radio, app of the week.
Andrew, last night never happened, okay?
Pardon me? What are we talking about now?
The creators of this application call it the morning after application.
Reckless abandon again?
Stuart says, okay, panel, apart from all the superlatives of how long I've listened and how much I love the show, even the haters, just joking, says, just joking, it's written there.
Yeah.
I will say I listen back on the pod as I work from 9 to 5 and you now have a strong following in my workplace. That's nice, Stuart.
Aww.
This is an app that deletes...
Where does he work, or shouldn't I ask?
You shouldn't ask.
Okay.
This is an app that deletes your last 24 hours of Facebook and Twitter stuff-ups. This is the app of the week, he says. It's called
really?
Last Night Never Happened.
I don't believe it.
It's basically targeted at angry, drunk, or stupid, or all of the above Facebook and Twitter users who wake up in the morning and think, OMG, I wish I didn't take that photo or tweet that comment. Now, Stuart says he heard about this app on the youth radio station Triple J, half-hour current affairs program Hack. Now, the question, he says, does Mr. Zuckerberg really allow an app to delete his collected information?
Have you tried it?
Regards, Stuart.
What platforms?
P.S. We love Lena.
Oh,
you've got fan mail this week, Lena.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
It's for the Android, says Stuart.
Oh, good. I've got one of those.
But there might be an Apple version as well. Last Night Never Happened is the name of the application. Have a look.
Okay, thank you. We shall do.
Can you dig it?
No, ma'am. We're musicians.
Ma, the meatloaf!
Bond. James Bond.
You can't handle the truth!
And the hits just keep on coming.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
I'd not heard about this up until about 3 days ago. Planking, the art of lying face down in unusual public spaces...
Yes.
Lena has lapsed into respiratory arrest.
I'm allergic to its ridiculous.
For those of you who aren't aware, Lena is here under... She's not feeling too flash, but she's made a great effort.
Has gained enormous popularity in Europe and Japan, where it is known as the lying down game. But in Australia, being a plank... planking has developed into an internet craze after it recently featured on The Footy Show. The Planking Australia Facebook group now has acquired almost 45,000 likes in about 3 days.
Please explain this to me in the...
You lie face down on something and someone takes a photo of you, anything.
Street signs and that sort of thing.
Really?
Macca's signs, you know.
Last week, police charged a Gladstone man in Queensland for planking on top of their police car. Plankers post photographs of themselves planking on the internet and compete for increasingly risky and bizarre planks.
So where are they planking that they shouldn't be planking? Like in the end of a runway or something like that?
Melbourne Central Station?
In what is thought to be Australia's first planking fatality,
a
20-year-old man in Kangaroo Point, Queensland, slipped when he tried to plank on a 5-centimetre-wide balcony railing outside his front door. By 8 a.m. this morning, blah, 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 the Facebook group now has 85,000 followers. And, yes, I don't think that's death by planking. I think that's called death by stupidity, alcohol and gravity, the incident in Queensland. And Darwinism, that's involved too. Yep. There you go.
I don't quite
understand it, Andrew. I know that Trent, of 2GHR fame, who helps us get the podcast out every week, he's a planker.
He's got
planking photos on his face tubes.
Very good.
Don't send us your photos of your planking, though.
No, that's Tech Talk Radio for this week. Thank you, Dr. Ron. We won't see you next week. Adam Turner will be in. He'll be your proxy. So we can ask all those questions about why he goes to the video library, can't we?
Yes. Ask him,
be really
you?
Good.
We will.
Graham will hopefully be back in again next week after he's had a good sleep.
Lena will hopefully be back with two lungs.
Lena will just be the one and a half.
Won't
be the walking dead that she is this week. You'll have to put your Melbourne scarf back on. Was it Melbourne?
Yeah, it was. Go the D's,
yeah, all right. And until the same time next week, it's bye for now.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron, regular panellist Graham Callaghan, Mark Diggins and Lena Van Deventer. Guest panellist is Justin Dunlop. Expert opinion by Adam Turner and our US correspondent is Lydia Davis. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications. Podcast production by Graham Callaghan. Tech Talk Radio is broadcast, recorded and streamed live to the world each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC in Melbourne. The crew wish to thank all the stations around Australia and the world that rebroadcast the show. And a reminder that Tech Talk Radio is available for syndication on your local station. For sponsorship and advertising, call 03 8682 9099 or visit our website, techtalkradio.com.au, for more information. And don't forget, you can follow the panellists on Twitter, join us live each Monday night in the Tech Talk chat, and solve your tech issues in the Tech Talk Radio forum. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws, and may not be rebroadcast without approval.